All right, in an instant, an auto accident can put you in the worst financial position of your life. It's an absolute must. You got to hire the right lawyer. You're going to make sure that your insurance companies pay you what you are owed. Injury attorney David Femininio and his team, they are exactly who you need to call. They have been making insurance companies pay for over 30 years. They're going to help you with your case as well. David is ready to speak to you personally. Right now, 855-65-CRASH. That's 855-65-CRASH, or you simply go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com.
All right, this is exciting, Wojo.
It certainly is. Somebody who knows more than you about baseball.
Right, definitely not more than you, though.
And me.
John Morosi from the MLB Network. John's going to be part of the Tigers and Angels telecast tonight, exclusively on YouTube at 10 o'clock. Fans can go to youtube.com/MLB or search for MLB on the YouTube app and get the game live with no logging in required.
And let me say this real quick, why you should do that tonight, because to see Mike Trout, how far he can hit the ball off of Jordan Zimmerman.
Mike Trout
a long ways.
0-for-3 against Jay Zim lifetime.
I know.
What's up, Morosi? How you doing?
Jeff, well, Joe, great to be on the air with you guys. Great to see you over the weekend. In Detroit, of course, last weekend, I suppose, but great to be with you guys, and as always, talk baseball. It's basically our press box conversation now moved out into the airwaves.
So absolutely.
It's really no different than it all.
We're just not eating while we're talking this time.
Well, one of us is.
Yeah. Well, John, you're doing the game tonight on YouTube, which is interesting, and all kidding aside, Zimmerman is having, and just real quick, a historic bad year. His ERA is like 7.57. Is there anything that they can do or anything left, do you think, in Jordan Zimmerman?
Well, Joe, it's tough for Jordan because really you think about he came over and I guess it was 15, the first, or the 16 rather, the first half of that season that he came over to Detroit, and he had about a good first half of that year, if
yep.
you remember. And then he started getting hurt. It was the neck and the back. And he really has not been consistently healthy since then. And he's never going to use that as an excuse. Of course, he's a great fellow Midwesterner, native of Auburndale, Wisconsin. Great ice fisherman, tough kind of like hockey-playing mentality for Jordan. So he's never going to admit it, but I think that he just has not been healthy almost the entire time he's been a Tiger. And I think you look around and where the Tigers are at, I think we realize that the good pitching the Tigers have to come isn't quite ready yet in the upper minors. And I think that he's here and he's going to keep taking the ball to fifth day as long as they'll have him do it. But I realize it's a tough thing for him to do physically. Obviously, he's a proud guy. This guy's been an elite all-star level pitcher for a long time in this league. So, he's a proud guy. He's going to keep taking the ball. It's just difficult, I'm sure, for those that have watched him pitch. I remember I covered a playoff game he pitched in 2014 that was incredible. He almost shut out the Giants in game one of a playoff series. It was remarkable. So, I mean, he has been a great pitcher in this league for a long time. But I think the neck issue, whether it's an acute problem right now, I think it affects him in a pretty profound way. And I think it's something that unfortunately is going to be with him probably for the rest of his career and probably is affecting what you're seeing right now in the field.
Hey, John, Wojo and I have been yelling at each other
yep.
for, well, pretty much all day.
Mm-hmm.
Really going back to last week, actually.
Which is different than usual, right?
Right. Well, actually, you're probably right. Nothing's
yeah.
different.
Okay,
that's a good
okay.
point by you. Great point by you. But if Matthew Boyd is not traded before the trade deadline, 4 o'clock on Wednesday, do you think that's a black eye for Al Avila? Or do you think that just means the market was that bad and he could not get what he wanted and he still has 3 years of control, so they brought him back?
Well, I think this, Jeff, that it's never, to me, when you've got that amount of control on a pitcher, it's not a desperate situation right now for the Tigers. I think there is value, of course. You could look to trade him again in the offseason if you wanted to, or even next year's trade deadline. There is value as well that he brings in the leadership that we know he brings to the clubhouse, and what a fantastic guy he is off the field as well, in addition to the innings that he throws and all the strikeouts that you've seen him get this year. So there's not, I don't think, a lot of urgency to trade him right now, and nor should there be. I think the Tigers, from everything I hear from executives around the league, they're setting a very high price tag on him, and they should. Now, what I think is interesting is I've also been told by different teams that the Tigers have been looking to package Boyd with someone else, whether it's Boyd and Castellanos, Boyd and Green, Boyd and Farmer, some other different iterations of those types of deals, which I think is interesting as long as it allows you to access that higher level of yep. prospect. If that gets you a top 10 prospect, more power to you. But I got to tell you guys, the deal yesterday between the Mets and the Blue Jays did not do the Tigers any favors.
No, because that was Stroman, ridiculous.
Stroman, right. Yeah, Stroman went to the Mets, and the Mets did not give up any prospects that rank in the top 100 of MLB, according to MLBpipeline.com.
Well, when we talk about it, and when we were talking about it in the press box before, it's sort of understood, seemingly, that Castellanos and Green will be traded, and Boyd, we're not sure. Are we still at that stage, 3 days away? Castellanos and Green are going to be traded, and Boyd is it still 50-50, do you think, or what?
That sounds about right, Will, Joe. I think that sounds about right. Castellanos, the Cubs were on Sogard, and didn't get him. Of course, he went to Tampa instead. I think the Cubs are a great fit for Nicholas Castellanos. Nick's performance against left-handed pitching all year has been excellent. And you think about the National League playoffs, and the Dodgers, for example, they could run three or maybe even four lefties at you during a playoff series, depending on what they do with Maeda. And, of course, Buehler's going to start a game, so probably three. But you're going to face a lot of lefties there. And so Nick's bat would be incredibly valuable to any team that's going to face the Dodgers, whether it be the Cubs or the Braves. So I think he'll move. And then Green, you know, I was told yesterday even the Yankees are on him. I think the Phillies like him. The Nationals like him. The Braves, I've heard at different times. So there's a pretty healthy market for Shane Green, just simply because of the fact that he can close. He could be a setup guy. The Dodgers, I'm told, like Shane Green as well. I think he's a really good fit there, given the struggles of Kenley Jansen here of late. So I am pretty confident. I'm close to certain that Castellanos moves. Pretty sure that Green moves, and maybe like a 70-30 chance on Shane. And then I do think Boyd's a 50-50 toss-up. And Buck Farmer, there's a lot of interest in him. I mean, he's controllable, and certainly the Tigers don't really have any need to trade him right now, urgency-wise, based on his service time. But he's someone who, you know, we haven't talked about him a bunch, but because he's controllable, and actually some of his peripheral numbers are every bit as good as Shane Green's. So he's got really good value in the industry, even though he's not someone that we tend to talk about as much. He's really having a very, very good season for the Tigers.
Hey, John, I got to ask you, because this fascinates me. I might be the only one fascinated by this. I truly admit this. But following the Tigers the rest of the way, and, you know, Evan Woodbury from MLive tweeted this out earlier, the records that the Tigers would have to go in the remaining 61 games to be the worst team in the history of the game. If they go 12-49 through the remaining 61 games, they will have the most losses in AL history. If they go 11-50, they'll have the most losses in the history of Major League Baseball. Is this possible? I think it's possible, don't you?
possible, sure. I think, but if you look at how they've played over the last month or so, and you factor in they're probably going to candidly trade away one or two or three or four of their better players, then I think you start to do the math there and realize, yeah, it's certainly possible. I don't think it's likely. I wouldn't say it's likely, but it's possible. And I think that for the Tigers and following this team this year, you know, obviously it's we're kind of almost back to the future here with 2003,
yep.
Like 02. But here's where it's different, and here's where they've got to do something here this week or very soon. Is what got the Tigers out of 03 was signing Pudge and Maglio and signing Kenny Rogers and bringing Todd Jones back and then having Verlander ready. Okay, so you think about that set of circumstances. So they may have a Verlander, maybe, or someone close to Verlander at least in mind, maybe. Okay, there's enough guys on the pitching side that you think, okay, maybe they'll have those guys. But the question is going to be, will they overpay for free agents like they did? And I am skeptical of that.
Yep.
And so that's why this week, they need to bring in some position players. And you look back, I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday. You look back, the last team that I can recall that was a mid-range payroll club, which is what the Tigers are probably going to be going forward, by the way, a mid-range payroll club or lower, that's won the World Series without a really strong homegrown core position players was the 05 White Sox. Almost every other team this century that you could think of that didn't have a huge payroll had the homegrown core position players, like what you saw with the Royals, like what you've seen with the Astros, even the Red Sox, big market. Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts, Bradley, all homegrown. The last, and I've mentioned this trivia question to people before, and it still boggles the mind. Do you know the last Tiger signed by the organization originally to make multiple All-Star teams for the club? Position player.
For the club.
Not just one All-Star team, but that, multiple.
I got to guess.
Original Tigers draft. Guess. Go ahead. Guess.
Travis Fryman.
That's exactly correct.
Boom. Oh, hey, how did he get that? That's not fair.
Listen, I watched those Tiger teams. I'm not proud of it, but I watched.
So there you go. So I would say that to me is a very instructive point. And yep. Fryman debuted in, 1990?
Yeah.
Right around there. So it's basically been a generation, okay, that we have not seen the Tigers bring up a group of – and there are a variety of reasons for that. They've traded away some guys. I get that. But the point is, unless you are going to overpay like they did a decade ago for free agents, then you've got to have them from within. And maybe Riley Green helps them get on that process. But, yeah, it's Benson Fryman. So that tells you that they need some kind of a position player culture to develop around those guys. Because you saw it when the Tigers played against the Royals, man, that was a fun Kansas City team to watch. Even the Twins teams of that era had a lot of homegrown guys that played together. Morneau, Kadire, Maurer. And you saw it in the way they played. So I think if I'm watching the Tigers carefully, the pitching is good. I think that the results this year in some respects, Tarek Skubal has come on and he's been a really interesting guy that all of a sudden has popped on the radar. The pitching I think is going to be okay. But what I want to know is who are the guys that are going to be part of this position player group for years to come that you can really trust and watch the way that the Royals fans did with Perez and Moustakas and Hosmer. And that's they got to find those guys because without that group, without overpaying, I'm not sure how clear a pathway there is to being able to win a championship.
Well, we appreciate it, John. Good luck on the YouTube broadcast tonight of the Tigers and Angels, and we'll be watching right up till 4 p.m. on Wednesday.
Thank you, John. Great stuff.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for being up here for us tonight. We appreciate it very much. You guys and all my family keeping us with good viewership there in Detroit.
Absolutely.
We'll do.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, John.
John Morosi of the MLB Network. And on top of everything,
97 won the ticket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.